The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
We've been going through this idea the past 3 weeks of engage, or inviting, engaging, igniting, right? All 3 weeks, we've been going through this, and it dawned on me, I never told you why we were going through this. Why this? Like, what was the purpose in this being the theme over the last 3 weeks? And here's why. What you wrote down, the gospel, if you truly believe that, it is an inviting message, it is an engaging message, and it is an igniting message. And it should change the way you live your life. If you truly believe this, the gospel, whatever it is that you wrote, this is the gospel, this is what I believe, then my understanding of Scripture is that that should produce in you something different. It should inspire you. It should invite you to take a deeper walk with Christ. It should engage with you in your everyday life and how you live and the way you pay your bills and the way you say hi to people at Walmart. It should engage and be ingrained in every area of your life. It should be igniting. It should be something that inspires and it causes you to wake up in the morning. If you truly believe the gospel, it should do all those things. Now, the problem I think a lot of us is this. Our gospel has been watered down by church. And I love the church. I'm not saying church is bad. But it's been watered down by church. It's been watered down by what some pastor somewhere, sometime told you. It's been watered down by the freedoms that you think you need to experience in the world. It's been watered down by all these different things. And it has caused you and I to believe a watered down version of the gospel. And that's really dangerous, because what a watered-down version of the gospel says is this. It's about me. It's about me. And when I believe a watered-down version of the gospel, what happens is this. I live my life based off of what I want. And that's a very dangerous spot to be. So the reason we went through these things, the reason we've gone through this the past couple weeks is because of this. I believe that this message, the gospel, should cause you to walk in a deeper relationship with Christ. It should invite you to that. It should engage with you. It should make you change the way you live every single day. And it should inspire and ignite something inside of you that causes you to want to walk in a deeper relationship with Christ tomorrow. And it causes you to want to engage with him more. And it causes you to want to invite people. And it causes you to want to be involved. And it causes you to want to inspire other people with your life. So that's why all this is going on. Whatever it's worth to you, that's why. Today is the last day of that. We're going to be looking at the idea of igniting and what it means to ignite. If you have your notes or if you're in your Bible, it's Acts chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 1 through 7. It says this, "When the day of Pentecost came, all the believers were gathered together in one place. Suddenly there was a noise from the sky, which sounded like a strong wind blowing. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire, which spread out and touched each person there. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to talk in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. They were Jews living in Jerusalem, religious people who had come from every country in the world. When they heard the noise, a large crowd gathered. They were all excited because all of them heard the believers talking in their own language. In amazement, they wondered and exclaimed, 'These people who are talking like this are Galileans.'" Now, a couple things. This is the story of the day of Pentecost. This is when you and I as Christians received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes down, and this is the first time in Scripture where we see the Holy Spirit indwelling, living inside of people. Right? You and I, that's what we claim to believe, is we believe that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And so this is the first time outside of this, everything's been an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is the first time it indwells people. It lives inside them. Okay? So couple things I want to just point out and look at about this encounter, this type of thing that happens. The first thing is this: the location matters. Did anybody notice verse 1? Where were they all together? One place. Now, can you be a Christian and not be involved in church? Sure. You can have a relationship with God that is just you and God. You can be forgiven of your sins. You can do all those things without church. I get it. Is your relationship with God ever going to be what it should be apart from church? No. Because location matters. Because this thing called igniting, what happens when they become empowered by the Holy Spirit, that happens in a body of believers. That happens in a group of people coming together saying, hey, listen, we're here with one mind, with one purpose, with one reason, with one motive, with everything together in unity because we want to see God do something. That's when this happens, and that's when this becomes impactful and powerful. Your location matters. Now listen, I'm not a person who is going to harp on people about not being at church. That's not me. That's never been me. I did it one time and I made a girl cry and I felt so bad about it. I never decided I was ever going to do that again. But I've got to tell you guys, if being here together isn't important to you, I got to ask you if you believe the gospel. Because if I believe the gospel, if I believe that what this is worth my life, then I am going to think that coming together, meeting together, my location, what I do with my fellowship of believers is important. And if it's not important to you, then I don't know. I gotta wonder what you believe. Second thing about this, every person received something. If you look at verse number 4, the end of verse number 3, it says this: they saw what looked like tongues of fire, which spread out and touched every person there. Every single person received something, and every single person received something differently. Now that's pretty exciting. How many of you look, there's enough of us here today that we can do this and not be weird. Look around the room. How many of you think that anybody else in the room is going through the exact same thing that you're going through right now? Okay. How many of you think that somebody in this room is going through something completely different than you right now? Okay. How many of you think that the person around this room, looking around the room, they have no clue? You don't know, they don't know, they don't have a clue what's going on in their life, you don't have a clue what's going on in your life. Okay. Good. Yeah. it's a jumbled mess. But here's what I want to say. Everybody received something from the Spirit, even though everybody's something was different. What God wants to say to you through His Word may be completely different than what God wants to say to your neighbor through His Word. What God's Spirit wants to impress upon you, what He wants to do in your life, may be completely different than the person sitting next to you. And that's all right. What God's done in you, what God has gifted you with, Max, I'm so grateful that you can play the guitar and the piano. I can't do either. And I ain't even going to begin to talk about singing. My daughter tells me stop singing anytime I start singing. There's gifts and there's different abilities and there's different talents. And what God's Spirit does in me, He doesn't do in you. And thank God He doesn't, because that's why we become the body of believers. That's how we become the body of Christ. That's how we become everybody playing their each individual, specific to them part to play. Everybody receives something, but everybody receives something different. The last thing about this passage is that it's the Spirit that ignites them and enables them. In verse number 4, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to talk in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. In other words, the Holy Spirit, if you and I are followers of Christ, if we're Christians, if we believe the gospel, we've been given the Holy Spirit as a sign, a seal, a promise from God that what He began in you, the work of salvation, He's going to continue until you and I get to live in heaven with Him, because that's why we all get saved. Isn't because we really want to be forgiven of our sins, it's because we want to go to heaven and we don't want to go to hell. And that's not even the whole thing. But if that's the case, then the Holy Spirit now lives in you, and he is igniting and empowering you. How many of y'all feel empowered right now? I mean, if you don't, that's all right, because here's my fear. Ready? Oh, we're gonna stand. Okay, sing. We're gonna sit. Okay, good. Sit. Oh, the kids, they're so cute. Will he ever shut up? Does he know what time it is? That's how a lot of us experience church. There's no power. There's no passion. There's no inspiration. There's nothing. There's I come, I sit, I put in my time, and I leave the doors, and I never come back until next week. I don't think about it. I don't deal with it. I don't process through any of it. The reason I gave you homework is because I want this to be the first step in your Christian walk this week, is to do something with God outside of the hour that you give him this morning. Throughout your week, the Spirit enables them. It ignites something inside of them. And that ignites something in other people. When you go back and you read verses 5 through 7 in that passage, it says that there were Jews living in Jerusalem who were religious people. Those religious people heard what was going on, and they came. Now, this is different from what you've probably heard your entire life, because as a Christian, you and I, the Great Commission tells us that we have to do what? Go. Which is true. But there's also this element that when you and I live inspired, ignited lives by the Holy Spirit, other people see what's happening in us and they come. They say, I don't know, I don't get it, I can't understand it. When you go through and you read this entire passage, they think that they're drunk, they think that they're crazy, they think that they've lost their minds. But whatever it is, it causes people to come, and it causes a ruckus in the city, so much so that people come to find out what's going on. This igniting of Christians ignites other people. They come with questions. They come with concerns. They want to know what's going on. They've noticed that there's something different about these people who are called Christians. Y'all, when we get this, I ain't got to worry about if this is my seat or not, because there ain't going to be enough room here for anybody. I promise you, when we start to live ignited lives by the Holy Spirit, it's not something that we have to stand out there with a sign that says, I love Jesus, honk if you do too. It's going to be evident in our life. It's going to be welling up inside of us, so much so that this community of Mooringsport, that this parish of Caddo, that the entire Northwest Louisiana area is going to look at our church and say, I don't know, I can't figure it out, but they've got something and I got to get a part of it. It's going to happen, y'all. It's going to happen, but it's going to take you and I realizing that the gospel that we say we believe requires us to ignite this passion of the Holy Spirit, which enables us to work in Christ's church today. There's a couple things that is interesting to me when you look at this passage, that it came with fire. It came with tongues of fire that came and rested on them. It caused me to ask the idea of what gave these people the willingness to live a life like this. If you don't believe me, that it inspired other people to live. In your bulletins, you have Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. And that says this: they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship of breaking bread. In other words, they devoted themselves to being together. Devoted themselves to being together. One more time, because I don't know that everybody heard me. Devoted themselves to being together. You know what that word devotion means? Coolest thing I've ever learned in my entire life. What's devotion mean? Anybody know? What does devotion mean? You don't know? Okay. Come here, Garrett. Stand up, buddy, right there. Can you stand up for me? Okay. You're good. Ready? You going to take care of that for me? Why? Because I gave it to you, right? Devotion is that right there. I'm going to take care of this because you gave it to me. I'm going to take care of whatever I've been entrusted with. You've been entrusted with the good news that God in heaven, the creator of the world, died on a cross for your sins, for you to have a relationship with him. You have been entrusted with that. Do you take care of it? Is this something that is valuable to you? They were devoted to the idea of coming together. They were devoted to this idea of that together we can accomplish more than we ever could alone. They were devoted to that idea. It says this, everyone was filled with awe and many wonders and signs and miracles that they were performing. All the believers were together. Not that location matters. And they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who was in need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You ever just stopped and looked at scripture and been like, that's crazy? Like, who does that? I think like there were people who did that in like the 70s. They were called hippies and they lived in communes and like they weren't necessarily people who everyone wanted to associate with. Who lives this kind of life? People who are empowered by the Holy Spirit. People who are ignited by what God's doing and says, listen, you know what? It's not about me. It's about we. It's about us. It's about you understanding the gospel. It's about you receiving this thing called a relationship with God through Christ. It is when the empowering and the igniting of the Holy Spirit happens in someone's life that it causes them to live this free life where they share everything. They have everything in common. They devote themselves carefully to the teaching of God's word. They devote themselves to meeting together. It's somebody who has been ignited by the Holy Spirit. That's who lives this life. Fire means a couple things in scripture. And I always thought it was interesting that the Holy Spirit came on them with fire. When you compare fire in Scripture, you see that it represents a couple things. It represents God's judgment in several passages, but all through Scripture you see this idea where God's judgment is represented by fire. It's the burning away of things. It's the burning of different things. When in the Old Testament, when God would judge a nation, it says that his wrath would be poured out with fire. Over the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 13 says this, their work will be shown for what it is because the day will bring it to light and it will be revealed with fire and fire will test the quality of each person's work. Another thing is God's provision. Anytime you see in the Old Testament God needing to provide something for his people, he provided it. Sometimes it was safety. Sometimes it was a victory in a battle. Sometimes it was just the very fact that his presence was with people. God's provision was a sign of fire. The other thing is God's direction in the wilderness. Israelites, Exodus chapter 13, verse 20 says this, by the day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them in their way, and by night a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or by night. So you have these three different things where God's spirit, fire, offers judgment, it offers provision, and it offers direction. The Holy Spirit in our life offers judgment, provision, direction. The Holy Spirit offers judgment because it offers grace, but it also offers justice. Y'all ever think of the fact that you're grateful that God's just? If God wasn't just, there'd be no reason for the cross. There'd be no reason for payment for sin. There'd be no reason for you and I to be worried about going to hell because everyone gets to go to heaven. Hooray, we live in a big happy family. But God is perfectly just. It means that there are people who pay the penalty so that you and I can reap the reward. God's judgment has two sides. It's justice, it's grace. God's provision means he's meeting needs. Again, whether it's there's an army that's camped outside of us, there's people outside of us, there's people pressing in, whether it's the idea that there's fire, there's an altar that we built, that we want to sacrifice something, but God, we want people to know that you're here. It's meeting a need. The last thing is direction. Again, God's people, when they were in the wilderness, they needed direction, and so it offered guidance. The Holy Spirit offers grace and justice to us. The Holy Spirit offers meeting needs in our life. Like Eugene gave the story earlier about how there are times in life when you and I can't make it, and outside of what the Holy Spirit does in our life and meeting the needs that we face every single day. Guidance. The Holy Spirit offers guidance to you and I. It offers direction. It offers us a place to go. It tells us what we need to do. So, there it is. Inviting, engaging, igniting. The igniting means to be refreshed by the Holy Spirit to serve. You're empowered by the Holy Spirit to share. As a church, igniting means we use our gifts in ministries of the church. It means taking what we have found in Christ out into our lives to share with others. So I have two real quick questions for you, church. Is your walk with Christ inviting, engaging, and igniting? Do you realize that the do you realize God is always calling you to take another step? I'll stake my job on this. If you don't find this in Scripture, you can fire me tomorrow and I'll walk out of here with a smile on my face. There's not a place in Scripture where God says, oh, you served? Congratulations. You can take the next couple years off. You don't have to serve anymore. Oh, listen, you're a newlywed? Fantastic. You don't have to do anything in church right now. Oh, you've got kids. I completely understand. Don't be involved in what God's doing because you need to be involved with your kids. Search it. You will not find a place like that in Scripture. It does not matter if you are old. It doesn't matter if you're a sinner. It doesn't matter if you're a saint. It doesn't matter who you are. God always has another step, another thing for you to do to take a step closer to Him in your relationship. Always. God is constantly inviting you to do something. God is constantly engaging with us. He is constantly pouring out, wanting to be involved in every area, aspect of your life. God is an engaging God. The gospel is an engaging gospel. It brings you in. It captivates you with the idea that God Himself made a way for you to have a relationship with Him so that you can share that good news with other people. That is something that is captivating and brings you in. But God didn't leave you there. He ignited this passion inside of us. He ignited this Holy Spirit inside of you to live that life so that you can go out in your world where you live, where you see people in your relationships with your friends and share with them that same good news and invite them to have a part to play in what God's doing with you. This graphic has been up there the past couple weeks. It's in your bulletins also, but it's the idea that this continues over and over and over again. This does not ever stop. Do you know when this stops? You'll be laying right here in a box. Your body will be laying right here in a box. That's when this stops. Your life as a Christian should constantly be going through this. So is your Christian life all three of those things? If it's not, understand this. God's desire for you is that it is. Understand that what God is inviting you to do today is take a step of faith and say, all right, God, this isn't my Christian walk. My Christian life is anything but those three words. But I want it to be. You've responded to the invitation. Now watch God engage with you. Watch God ignite something inside of you. And as you continue to take those steps, you're going to see God continue to work in your life. Is our church an inviting, engaging, and igniting church? It should be. Because if we believe the gospel, why in the world aren't we living it? Why isn't the gospel being the central message of our church, that it does these things, that people, we want people to come in here because we want them to find out about a God who's in heaven? Is our church engaging with each other and engaging with our community? Is our church ignited and truly living lives that other people see outside and say, I don't know what it is, Max, but they've got something and I've got to figure it out. I'm going to pause for 2 seconds. I'm going to read something because I can't say it. On a happy note, I want to invite you today. If this isn't you, there's a way to do it. Come talk to me. Come talk to somebody and say, listen, this isn't my life. My life is anything but that. Our church is anything but that. Hey, great. Let's go next door and let's talk about how we can fix it. Let's eat some tacos, some nachos, and have a good time fellowshipping, but let's talk about what we can do to make our church this. Do you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ enough to let it invite you into a deeper relationship with God, to engage with your life today, and to ignite in you a passion that craves more? God, I have no clue. I don't know how to do an invitation to this. I don't know what to say. All I know, God, is that your gospel, the truth that you loved us enough to die on the cross for our sins so that we could have a relationship with you, God, it should do something. It should inspire something. It should ignite something in each of us. So, Father, my prayer is that your people are obedient to your word today. Father, that we live inspired, ignited lives to help offer good news to the world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.